Good morning, welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're here today on this Memorial Day. We live in a country where we have the freedom to worship. And if you've ever had the privilege to live or travel abroad, you recognize the power behind that. But we're in a weekend that we're dealing with here on Memorial Day, and oftentimes we look at it as another holiday and a good time to be with family and to have a day off, and that's nice to have. But I feel like it's important this morning that we recognize why we have that Memorial Day and what's at stake even with it in its path. Over 1.1 million men and women have given their lives throughout the course of the history in the United States of America. 1.1 million. They've sacrificed so that you and I have this opportunity to have freedom. But I believe that our freedom is challenged more today than probably ever in our history. And if you stop and think about that, that's a pretty powerful statement. Because we had men and women who have literally fought for our freedom in the very beginning, over 240 years ago. And yet we have this opportunity today to focus and to think about this memorial and what it means to have freedom in our lives. And today I'm going to talk about three steps that I believe it takes to preserving freedom. Because freedom isn't something that was just simply handed. It was something that was earned. And I believe it's important that we as believers, more than anyone else, recognize and understand the mandate, the responsibility that we have to carry out and live out this freedom. And the first step today we want to look at is that freedom requires unity. Freedom requires unity, that we come together as a body of believers, but yet we look out across our nation and we see that unity brought us together. Unity created this nation. When men and women joined together and said, for the cause, we are going to lay down our lives so that we can have freedom, that our children's children can have freedom. And it was something that was lived for, but yet unity has been at literally friction throughout the course of our history. Today, we're going to look through several video clips that talk about the setting is the Vietnam War. We're going to look at through the life of Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore and how he brought a group of men together, over 400 men, and they fought the battles. But yet through that, they learned some lessons that I believe that can apply to us today. Let's take a look at the first clip.
Look around you. In the 7th Cavalry, we got a captain from the Ukraine. Another from Puerto Rico. We've got Japanese, Chinese, blacks, Hispanics, Cherokee Indians, Jews and Gentiles. All Americans. Now here in the States, some men in this unit may experience discrimination because of race or creed. But for you and me now, all that is gone. We're moving into the valley of the shadow of death, where you will watch the back of the man next to you as he will watch yours. And you won't care what color he is or by what name he calls God. They say we're leaving home. We're going to what home was always supposed to be. So let us understand the situation. We are going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I can't promise you that I will bring you all home alive. But this I swear, before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field, and I will be the last to step off, and I will leave no one behind dead or alive, we will all come home together. So help me God.
Lieutenant Hal Moore and his unit, around a little over 400, between 400 and 450 men, were dropped into a zone where they found themselves immediately surrounded by over 2,000 Vietnamese fighters. And with the grace of God and with the unity they had together, they were able to withstand and hold them off. And you see through this clip, some of the experiences that men and women that have fought for our country have faced. They went in sometimes not even knowing if they believed in what they were fighting for, but they knew that they were fighting for more than just even their country at time. They're fighting with each other and for each other. They had to have unity. If they did not have unity within each other, they would be easily defeated. And yet unity at its core is attacked in our nation today. We see a nation that is divided. We're moving into a time where I believe that our children will discover and that as a believer and a follower of Christ will be persecuted just simply because they believe in Christ. And to wrap your mind around that is just mind-numbing, because you stop and think, well, no, this is what we fought for. This is who we are. But yet you can see constantly that the different actions that are taking place even within the government that are bringing up these questions. And this division isn't something that's simply risen now. It's been along for a long time. We've seen it through the Civil War, civil rights, and even now the new fight that's amongst each other. The division is just constant within each other. And yet we find oftentimes that even the church has not been the best example, that they've sided with one side or the other, and we there's this battle that constantly takes place. And here's what you have to understand. You have to understand that at the human core of society, when you look at the core of human society, there are two stones that make society work. It's in the creation and how God created things. And one, there is righteousness, and the other is justice. We talked about this back in October, but I believe it's very important to bring this back and remind us as a body of believers this struggle that happens. You see, righteousness says that you're living right. It's conforming to a moral code, a conduct prescribed by God. People who believe in the righteousness and that everything is judged by righteousness, often then you'll make statements like this: that's not right. When something happens and you don't like it, you say, that's not right. It's not right that that happened. It's not right that they allow that. It's not right that they're forcing this. It's not right. The other form that it deals with is justice. And justice means doing right. To correct injustices of society means defending the poor and the marginalized. So that often says, that's not fair. So you have these two constant battles that we wonder why there's such division. And the division often happens on these two elements, righteousness and justice. Righteousness, it says it's not right. It's often how people view that it's the conservative viewpoint. Everything has to be right. But yet in the other viewpoint, liberal viewpoint says everything has to be fair. But here's where the struggle lies. Righteousness by itself is not the only way. Justice by itself is not the only way. It says it is judged on what? Righteousness and justice. It's both. It's not one or, it's both and. Look at Psalms 97:2, and we see this lay out. It says, dark clouds surrounded him. This is talking about God. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So we can see right there, he rules what? With righteousness and justice. Things that are right and things that are just. It's not one or, it's both and. Look with me in Isaiah 28:16. It says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. Now check this in verse 17. I will test you with the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. Psalms 9:8. He rules the world in righteousness and judges people with equity. righteousness and justice. It's both and. And so to simply think that life is not fair is not all within itself. To simply say it's not right is not all within itself. And these two battles have fought within our country from the beginning of time. We can see it over and over and over. And yet we often find ourselves siding with the side that we were raised with. It's what we were taught. It's what we were, our parents ingrained these values into us. And so you just assume that's it. And the reality is, they're both right. That's the struggle, isn't it? Because it's not righteousness by itself. It's not justice by itself. He rules through both righteousness and justice. So where is the common ground? Unity. Unity. So how do we promote unity within a nation that is so divided? I mean, that's tough. Within this core, I mean, you're careful to even say what you may think because, you know what, you don't want to offend or harm somebody. But it's not a matter of being scared. It's a matter of promoting unity through your actions. You have to live in such a way that your actions speak louder than words. You see, when you begin to take on knowing Christ and experiencing him in your life, it should change you. We should become like him. Which means we should live a life of humility, a life that is not controversial, a life that is not trying to stir up harm, but a life that lives in unity with a standard, knowing that Christ in us and through us changes everything. It's not us by ourselves, but it's us submitted to him. James 3:13 says, if you are wise in understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Telling us what? When you live a life of humility, when you walk in humility, when you begin to say, hey, I'm not here to cause and stand up and try to bring division. I'm here to bring unity. I understand the pain of those who are worried about righteousness. I understand the pain of those who are worried about justice, and I'm going to choose to walk in unity. I'm going to choose to walk as Christ would walk in humility. Instead of trying to trumpet a view and text and tweet and make controversial, I'm going to walk in humility. Because I recognize my role as a follower of Christ. I should represent Christ. And I should represent his ways through humility. Matthew 22, we know he tells us in the Great Commandment, he says, you must love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he tells us right there, it's the Great Commandment. If we love him with all our heart, if we love him with all our soul, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that in itself is a great formula for walking in humility. Because it takes the focus off of you, off of what you feel is right or what you feel is fair, and it puts it on the one who brings unity in the midst of division. And to preserve our freedom, we must walk in unity. The second step, I think, in preserving our freedom comes with recognizing and respect that freedom is not free. It came with a price. And oftentimes that price did not simply just affect the men and women who sacrificed, but affected the families and the people around. Let's take a look at the second clip that shows this.
Kathy! Kathy? A telegram. A cab delivers a telegram. The Secretary of the Army regrets.
Thank you. Ms. Moore? Colonel Moore's wife?
Yes.
I need help finding an address. I'm looking for...
Do you know what this is? Do you know what you just did to me?
I don't like this job, ma'am. I'm just trying to do it.
Wait. Wait. I'll take it to her. And tell the cab company if there are any others, just bring them to me. By to see Catherine. Everybody knows. No chaplains or counselors, cab drivers?
The army wasn't ready.
I'll go with you. Thanks.
Who's it for?
No.
Sacrifices were not made just by the men and women, but there are many families that were affected. Husbands lost, wives lost. Many children without a mother or father. Many parents without their son or their daughter. And when you stop just for a moment, and you recognize the cost of freedom, something should rise up within us that tells us and lets us remember that it's something that we should respect and not take for granted. And in this world with the controversy and whether you agree or disagree or you are one side or righteousness or just, it doesn't matter. Within us, we must make a conscious effort that we're going to walk in harmony and unity. We're going to live as Christ lived. We're going to act as Christ would act because we recognize John 15:13 tells us greater love of no one than this. They lay down their life for their friend. And the sacrifices that were made, you see, knowing the sacrifices, it's imperative that we find ways to love and walk in love and harmony. Colossians 3:14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You see, this example must first start within us as the church. And unfortunately, the church has not always done their greatest job at this. But as believers, we must say, we're going to walk in harmony. We're going to walk in unity. We're going to express and show Christ's love by who we are. Now, this is hard because life happens all around you. And let's just be real. Sometimes we don't feel like being very humble or very loving. Can I get an amen? I mean, let's be honest today. I found myself in the midst of this week. I had been sick and not feeling good, and I found out on Wednesday, the last day of school, as I'm not feeling good, my wife had asked us to put the blow-ups for the school. If you've ever moved the blow-ups in our church, you know they are these massive slide and they're very heavy and we got it and it's a service for the school and I take it up there unwillingly, just to be honest with you, a little frustrated, not feeling good. I put them up and man, I whined and moaned all morning. Can I just tell you, confession's good for the soul. I mean, I don't want to do this. These stupid blow-ups. Pastor Keith was with me, and I'm like, I hate these things. I mean, I was a cry baby. You know, I mean, just, I hate it. I didn't like it. And I was just wanting it to be known. I don't feel good. It's not where I want to be. You ever had that day? You know what I'm saying? I just didn't feel good. And about towards the end of it, I'm sitting there and complaining. And this scripture, Philippians 2:13, pops in my head, 2:14 and 15. It says this: do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live a clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I looked at Pastor Keith. I said, do all things. He laughed. He's gracious. Yeah. You know, but I'm like, dude, I was whining, complaining. And the Holy Spirit said, all things. You see, your light shines bright and brightest in darkness. Can I just tell you, we live in the most complaining world. I mean, you've ever heard of first world problems, you know? Like, I don't have cell service. You know, the Wi-Fi is bad. I don't have good download stream. I mean, are you really serious? You're struggling. You're worried about your download, you know, speed? It's like, come on now. When yet there are people all around us that have a lot worse problems than we have. But your light shines brightest when you learn to not be a complaining person, when you learn not to whine. And the reality is, with the division in this world, it's so easy, catch this, to jump on that side of righteousness. That's not right. It's not right. Over here, that's not fair. It's not, you can't do that to people. Are you tracking with me? We all do it. You're on one side or the other. You're human. But can I speak to you this morning and say this? As followers of Christ, we need to learn to step in the middle and say, I'm going to walk in unity. I'm going to walk in humility. No, sometimes it's not right. No, sometimes it's not fair. But I'm going to let God be the judge. I'm going to let God take care of that. Because when you study Scripture, you find this, that God is sovereign over the kingdoms of man. And he gives them to anyone he wishes. We see that in the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. He is sovereign over the kingdoms of man, and he gives it to anyone he wishes. That means that all leadership, all authority is under the hand of God. That means that there are times there have been leaders throughout history that people did not like and did not agree with. Can I get an amen? You know. For many, even today, the leadership we have in place is not people who people like or agree with. And I understand that. Let me tell you something. God is sovereign. If you walk in humility and place it into his hands and say, God, I'm going to put this in your hands, he'll deal with those under leadership because they're responsible and reportable to him. Whether you like it or don't like it, your attitude, though, your attitude directly affects our freedom and your witness as a believer. Because people are watching. And when you can choose to say, hey, I know there's some things that I don't agree with and there's some things I don't like, but I'm going to walk in humility. I choose to walk in love and have an attitude that honors Christ. So it can shine like a bright light in a world full of crooked and perverse people. The third step, I believe, in preserving our freedom, and there are many more that I had. I could keep going. But these are just three steps that I believe are practical to us today. But the third step I believe for us today is to never forget. We have 9/11, we have wars, we have Memorial Day, different holidays we set aside. But can we just say, many times on Memorial Day, we do forget. But when you begin to remember and recognize and respect the cost of freedom, you recognize that there are people around that have all kinds of different outcomes. Some people return from war to a good thing, to a reception. Some did not. But the cost was still the same. Take a look at Hal Moore and how they've returned home.
Kids, go to bed.
Isn't there someone at the door?
Go to bed.
Children, your daddy's home.
Some had families waiting. For others, their only family would be the men they bled beside. There were no bands, no flags, no honor guards to welcome them home. They went to war because their country ordered them to. But in the end, they fought not for their country or their flag. They fought for each other.
Dear Barbara, I have no words to express to you my sadness at the loss of Jack. The world is a lesser place without him. But I know he is with God and the angels, and even heaven is improved by his presence there. I know you too are sure of this, and yet this knowledge can't diminish his loss and your grief. With abiding respect and affection, Hal Moore.
We who have seen war will never stop seeing. In the silence of the night, we will always hear the screams. So this is our story. But we were soldiers once, and young.
Moore kept his promise. He brought all the men home, some in different forms and fashion. But yet, through this, we can never forget. It's why we have Memorial Day, to recognize men and women that gave their lives for the cost of freedom. And we must not forget that. And we must respect that. You see, this remembrance, this day is set aside that we can be grateful. And today I want to take just a moment before we close. And if you served or had a family member that served in our service, or maybe even gave their life, would you stand? We want to honor you today. Would you stand? we say thank you for your service. Because it was not free. Even the families were affected, and we are grateful today. And I believe that as followers of Christ, it is important that we respect that freedom and that we live a life of unity and help preserve that freedom that we have. Because without it, things could be much different. But there's another sacrifice that we must remember. And that's the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. You see, we have a Memorial Day each time we partake of communion. Because it reminds us of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. In John 15:13, we read that greater love have no man than he lay down his life for his friend. In John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that any who believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so because of Christ's sacrifice, we have freedom. Galatians 5 says it is for freedom that Christ set us free. His sacrifice is so that you could have freedom. And before today, we're going to partake of communion in just a moment. But before we do, I want you just to close your eyes and reflect for a moment. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, we never want to close a service without giving you that opportunity. Because you see, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins so that you could have freedom. That you could experience him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. With no one looking around, I'm simply going to ask you in just a moment, if that's you and you're saying, hey, I want to commit my life to Christ, or maybe you accepted him at one time, you just want to rededicate your life to him. Life has happened and you've walked away, but today you want to rededicate your life to him. With no one looking around today, we're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front or anything. I just want to pray with you right where you're sitting. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, that's me. I want to commit my life to Christ or rededicate my life to Christ today. Would you simply make eye contact with me? I just want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Anybody here today? Praise God. So today, I believe that if you're here, then either one, you've accepted him as your Savior, or two, maybe you're not ready yet. If you're not ready, that's okay. We're not here to force anything on you. I just challenge you to seek his word. Seek him. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, the door will be open. And if that's you and you're still seeking, keep seeking. Read his word. Begin to discover him. Because when you find him, you'll recognize what true life means. But I want to move on this morning. We want to partake of communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, he says, for I have received from the Lord, which I also have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you announce the Lord's death until he comes. If I could have the ushers come forward here today. We're going to pass the plate here. And here at the Crossing, we have open communion. You do not have to be a member. All we ask is this, is that you seek your heart and that your heart is right before the Lord, as Scripture tells you. Well, they're just going to pass the communion. If you would like to partake, just go ahead and take one right now. Today, we want to honor our Savior who gave us freedom, who gave us the opportunity to discover true life and know what it means. If you've not seen these, you simply just, there's two pieces to it. There's a plastic piece that you can simply get the top is the wafer representing the body. And then the second layer represents the cup, which is the blood. I'll give everybody just a moment. You can go ahead and open it and work through the finagling of it. But we're going to pray. I'm simply going to say a prayer over the body and a prayer over the blood. The body represents the body of Christ. We see in Scripture that He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten with a whip and stripes upon His back. But it says, by His stripes, we are healed. By His stripes, we are healed. Has everybody had an opportunity to receive? We still have some waiting. Just a couple more. So as we pray this morning over the body, if there's sickness inside of you, I believe that God can heal you from that. Anything you're facing, God can heal you. Because it's by His stripes, by His body that was broken, that we are healed. So let's pray over the body right now. Father, we thank You for Your body that was broken for us, for the stripes that You took upon Your back that we can receive healing. That reminds us today the sacrifices You made. And Lord, today we honor You. We remember You for what You did. And we thank You for Your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the cup of the body. I'm sorry. Let's pray over the cup if we would today. Father, we thank You for Your blood that was shed for us. We thank You, Lord, that You poured Your blood out for us, that we could have freedom from sin. And Lord, today we honor You for Your sacrifice that You made. As we partake of this cup, we remember and we announce Your death and resurrection until You come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the cup. I believe it's important this weekend, just a reminder, let's remember. Be grateful for the freedom that we have. It was not free, but let's respect it. And as tempted as you may be to be caught on one side or the other, let's walk in unity. Let's be believers that walk with the humility of Christ, that people can see Christ's love in us. Amen? Amen. God bless you.